This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And this is our monthly forecast, the Cosmic Eye monthly forecast. And welcome to Libra season 2020. It's great to have you here. And joining me today is Vanessa Montgomery. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Tony. How are you? Hi, everyone.
I'm doing really good. Thank you. Well, we have quite a lot of info to share with you today. And we're going to start with all things Libra. So can you lead us into Libra season, Vanessa?
Sure can. So Libra season, it's all about you. I mean you.
That's great.
So we're up to the air element. It's interpersonal air. So 1 and 1 opposite Aries and the beginning of the zodiac. So yeah, we turn to face the other and the mirror as well. So this is very Libra in what we're doing, Tony. Takes two. It's interpersonal air. So, and it's a cardinal sign. So it's like initiative to like talk and engage people and negotiate. And of course, Libra is the greatest, moderator, negotiator, and finding that place of balance between one person or the group. They're really great to get a detached perspective from because they'll think of everyone's point of view, but they won't back you if you're wrong. They'll let you know. So hence being very involved in law and politics, but we'll get to that. So a cardinal sign, which means beginning of a new season. And Tony, in the Northern Hemisphere, you guys are going into fall. And here in the Southern Hemisphere in Australia, we're heading into spring, which is super Libra. And there's flowers everywhere. I just went to a flower carnival and I felt like I was living the dream. Tony, you've got your floral shirt on, looking very Libran.
Yeah, and I was trying to represent Venus a little bit.
Yep, ruled by Venus. And I think that's where people really stick to that. Oh, it's about beauty, which it is. Like, it's beauty and it's harmony and it's this pleasure. And Libran's definitely associated with interior design and designers and fashion and all the lovely things and high art, but also that balance again of law and politics. So fall is in pagan times was called Marbon. And of course for us here, we're having our Easter, but we celebrate according to the northern seasons, which is crazy. So we'll be coming up to Halloween for Scorpio season, but it's actually our Easter. And, you know, it's about sexuality and fertility and new life. It's sort of a bit Aries for us here. So when we get to that full moon, it makes more sense with that balance. So yeah, Marbon was a ritual of thanksgiving for the fruits of the earth and recognition of the need to secure them and to secure the blessings of the goddess and the gods during their coming winter months. And of course you need people going into cold and difficult times, like these days, not so much. Well, these days actually more than usual, actually, considering everything that's been happening. So ruled by Venus, associated with the relationship principle. It's all about the relationship, but it's an air sign. So it's not about merging. It's about having that air in between and having that space. So Libra season is all about that urge to connect and connect other people, but then move away again to get that air in. And I think a lot of Brian Clark, my teacher, the mega stellium in Libra, and he, I feel like I know Libra a lot because, you know, he was an astrologer and a Libra. And so the stellium astrologers are very insightful on their own sign particularly. And that's something I've always remembered. Have that space in between, you know, dance around like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. So my classic Libran that I think of immediately is AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sun and Mercury in Libra, opposite Moon in Aries. And of course, Kamala Harris is the same, but her opposition is actually an orb. It's an actual opposition. And they've got mutual reception with their rising and setting, which is, you know, they're twinning. They're doing right. That Libra thing. There's two Gemini Libra. And yeah, I think they're really iconic with the wanting to serve people. Like AOC is just so incredible with her words and her language. Like I think of that really, Libra's very refined and cultivated and cultural as well. And you just, same with where she had a Libran leader, Julia Gillard here, and their use of words, being an air sign, unparalleled, don't even get in the ring, they will beat you. Like, you know, it's like with a sword, they will cut through you. And yeah, I think by now everyone knows that about AOC. So I think people don't realize about Libra, they're sharp air, very intelligent, and can use words like, you can't. for the good of all here, and to find balance and equality for people. So it's also really fun to, and we'll get back to AOC in the moons, the full moon, but I love the idea of the iconic duo or the creative couple or the power couple. And there's just so many that are iconic. If you think about like who are your favorites, and also like who's been your dynamic duo in life or who is now, it doesn't have to be a partner. It can be that amazing friend that you just had this incredible synergy with. So we've got a few to list off for you. I'm going to start with my humorous one, which is a great picture of friendship to Oprah and Gail. Tony,
oh, nice.
You had a few really good ones.
The first ones that came to mind were from old TV shows. So I thought of Laverne and Shirley first. And then I thought of Cagney and Lacey. And that's a shout out to you, Jessica Lignato. So she knows what I mean. And I have a few more. You know, my favorite one that represents Libra, though, I can't think of their names, and maybe you'll think of it, but it's from an old cartoon, and there are these two characters that are they're always going after you, no, after you. And I can't, it's from Looney Tunes is what I remember. And I'm sure somebody on the podcast is like yelling out the name right now.
Were they animals?
They were animals. Yeah. I think maybe they're squirrels or chipmunks. Anyway, we don't want to spend forever on that, but
let us know.
Yeah. Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
And you had also, which I loved, Kermit and Miss Piggy. They were very inspirational, dynamic duo of my childhood. Yeah. And you had Brangelina, which is also a good reminder. You don't merge, you stay independent, like two people together. You can't have dynamic duo if there's only one. Yeah.
Right.
You're separate people, don't merge. That's getting into Neptune Pisces land. And Scorpio, I guess, the next one. I wrote Venus and Serena Williams as well. Sisters, you know, great partners on the tennis court and through their whole career supporting each other. Who knows if they would have made it without each other. You know, they're still there. They do doubles together and unbeatable. Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire is, one of the most classic, so beautiful. Yeah, Ben and Jerry. Oh, Batman and Robin, Thelma and Louise, and also Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yes, yes, that's a good one.
So many.
And then from movie characters, from Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, they're actually, I think of them as a Libra and power couple, because they're actually both Pluto and Libras. And they were really representing that Pluto and Libra energetic that you could kind of really, really woven through the film. And Titanic is such a great Pluto keyword. The film was actually at the time, you know, the highest grossing romantic film ever, basically.
Yeah, that was huge. Very iconic. And Kate also has she's a Libra sun, and she's a stellium in Libra with her moon and Mercury and a few things. Pluto. That Pluto in there. And that's a great term for the Pluto and Libra generation, isn't it? Power coupling. Right. I guess there was like, if you look back, there was probably a massive amount in there and still going.
Yeah. And I love that thing that Gwyneth Paltrow did with introducing that phrase. I don't know if she coined it, but the conscious uncoupling.
As
part of the Pluto and Libra dynamic too. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And does she have Pluto near
Pluto
her sun
and Libra.
Is that in with her son? Probably.
I don't know. I'll look it up while you're telling us more about Libra.
Yes, conscious uncoupling. Really good point there. And also, I will talk a bit more on Gwyneth, because If anyone's watched her Goop series on Netflix, she's like such a classic Libra, and she's very...
Major Libra stellium.
Yes, she's got a lot. She was meant to be my classic Libra in Cosmic Power, but we had to cut out those sections to get the word count down. Classic Sagittarius more.
Right.
But yeah, I found like I was really looking into her and I thought she's such a Libra, and you know, she seems mild mannered. She's really chill and she's just lovely and convivial, but she'll go in there and she's, you know, sharp as a tack. And she just says in the intro, you know, let's go in and create a ruckus with a big smile on her face. And right. She knows she'll get a lot of backlash, and she has over a lot of things. But you know, her drive has been very actually Venusian Venus, if people know much about her website, and a lot of controversial things she's been selling for a lot of money as well. It's all very beautiful. Venus is associated with money also, and yeah, she's caning it. And she says she was just sick of being the girlfriend and being put into that very narrow role that we often see Libra as. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's a real breakout Libra, showing us actually there's a lot more to it. She's nice. A good example. So that's our Libra season. So where is Libra in your chart? That's where the sun is moving through over the next month and lighting it up, bringing a few things to light. And yeah, I guess where you want to find your power couple as well. What area of life is that? Who is that for you? Who has that been? It's a nice trip down memory lane, actually, I found personally thinking about that. So next, our next segment.
Monthly moons.
Unless you had something else to say about
No. I mean, we could talk about Libra for the whole hour, yeah, but we have a lot of materials
here, yes,
so we should keep going. You're going to tell us about the monthly moons this month.
Yeah, so we have, of course, the full moon and the new moon. The full moon is EST time, October 1st, and it's at 9 degrees Aries, when, of course, the sun is at 9 degrees Libra, exactly opposite. They're always opposite each other. In Australia, that's the 2nd of October. And so for the full moon, it is, I'll just look at my chart. Yes, it's conjunct Chiron. So it could be a sensitive one with that. There's not a lot of aspects to it, but at the same time, there's a grand trine, a nice big trine going on. So which Tony's going to talk about later. And so, yeah, it's balance yourself, the Libra with the Aries. Balance yourself with the other, the Aries, the self, the other, your own personal needs with everyone's needs or your partnership needs. You as an independent versus you within relationship. I like the idea of balancing your inner brute force, like your inner gladiator, your inner Russell Crowe, who is an Aries, with your inner civilized, cultured, social self. Balance aggressive action with negotiation. So it's not about like doing nothing. Like that is a moon in Aries. It is about taking action. Mars is in Aries. There's action, but there's also negotiation. How can you get these two things to dance together? Basically, it's a cardinal sign. There's lots in cardinal signs actually over this month with all the squares that Tony's going to be talking about later as well. And so it's pushed to action. It's pushed to action. Get in. You know, there's relationships are a bit, there's a little hot nest of, you know, it's a bit waspy at the moment. There's maybe it's a bit prickly, but it's still about getting in there and dealing with it. I know I've got some in my own life that are coming up just in time for Libra season and all those squares. And, you know, it's time to get in and actually do something about it and not avoid those anymore. As much as I don't want to, I really feel that drive and that push to do it actually and get the confrontation happening. But, you know, the Libra too, like there's no need to go Russell Crowe. So on that, it just won't work. So with the Chiron conjunct the moon, I guess that's, you know, it's feeling sensitive. The Chiron's on the moon, moon's emotional. It's feeling sensitive about taking action. You might feel like you're getting a slap back about taking action, but where are you doing that yourself? How do you do that yourself? It's all about, I always say with Chiron, it's like, look at where you'll say, rejecting yourself or abandoning yourself before you even try, or, you know, it's a burning bridge, but you can only get to the other side by walking over it. So go, but don't go as the wounded self. Like, yeah, there is that with the Chiron. So it's, you know, moon in Aries is it's a full moon, is it's a big energy, it's a big fire energy, and with Chiron there, yeah, it might be a sensitive one, like the wounded soldier, you know, still going into battle bleeding. So take self-care. This everyone's under this lunation, so everyone has their little wounding and their emotional side, so always remember that. And that's where that Libra comes into. It's not just about me and my bloody leg. It's about other people too, and your relationships with them, and we're all in this together, and everyone's very sensitized, like everyone. So keep that in mind. I guess radical compassion is helpful. So then we get to the new moon, sun and moon in Love Machine Libra, as my Libra stellium friend calls herself. So this one is more tense, actually. It's October 16, 3:31 p.m. EST. In Australia, it's October 17. So it's a tense one. It's in a T-square that's reasonably tight. The sun and moon are opposite that Mars retro in Aries. So it could be combative. New moon, of course, I say set your intentions. So for you, where is 23 degrees Libra is where it falls. So where is that in your chart? You would take that into account when you set your intentions for mutually beneficial relationships, for love and beauty, and doing collaborations hugely. Where is that for you? 23 degrees Libra. You know, you'd set it for, I'd say, more relationships, finding balance and harmony, and where you get that regular, really nice relationship with someone where you can check in regularly. Who is that person? If you don't have that person, set the intention that those people are in your life and you have that. And sometimes that can open up with people that already exist, or that person might come along to you. So I love the new moon for that reason. And it's always fun when you write them down and 6 months later on that full moon in Libra, in when it's Aries season, have a look back and see where you're at with that. How has that progressed for you, and who happens to be on the scene at that time? That's the blossoming of those intentions that you set.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, and it's often the case. So that's the moons for Libra season. So, Tony, give me the headlines. We got some good ones.
Yeah, we sure do. So we're having such a major year that we get to talk about kind of the same thing every month and just point to it. And I'm going to do that again this month, which is over the next month, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto are within orb of a three-planet conjunction in Capricorn that we've been experiencing all year, except for when Saturn jumped out into Aquarius for a bit and squared Uranus. But that's a different story, and that's going to be more for 2021. But right now, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto are all tightening up again. So they're pretty close this month in October. And this has just been the major theme of 2020. And just to know that we're not through it just yet. Jupiter and Pluto will form an exact conjunction again for the last time in this series in early November. But they're essentially conjunct right now too. So we're going to talk about it more in the next podcast, since they are going to be exact next month. So I'll spend a little bit more time with it then. But I'm also going to be presenting a webinar on the topic for our upcoming summit, October 3rd and 4th, astrology and world events. So head over to astrologyuniversity.com/summit and sign up today. It's free to sign up and watch live. And you can find all the details over there at that link. One of the major themes of this Jupiter-Pluto conjunction is power and justice. In November of 2019, Brian Clark wrote a really great article on this conjunction, and he suggested that issues of justice and tolerance of diversity would capture our attention in this cycle, and boy, did he get that right. Jupiter and Pluto were exactly conjunct on April 5th and also again on June 25th. So it's been in range this whole year pretty much. And it was during that early period where the Black Lives Matter protests reached a new level of participation after the unfortunate murder of George Floyd on May 25th. So I'm kind of expecting, since just that we know that this just happened, that the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg yesterday, Supreme Court Justice, very sad passing, a little bit too soon from what her intention was. She was really striving to make it to 90 and didn't quite get there. But I expect that her death will catalyze a new wave of grassroots activism in the United States as part of this last period of the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction, with the intention of attempting to save democracy in the U.S., which is fits in with that intention that Brian's describing. And he writes that as Jupiter and Pluto combine, a new level of tolerating the diversity of human laws and systems becomes available. So let's hope we seize that opportunity as a collective. Then next big feature this month that we talked about in the last podcast is Mars retrograde. So that's all month this month. So it started last month and it's going on now. Actually, since we're not doing it by month, it started this month, but it started in Virgo season. Yes, but earlier this month. And we have another pass as part of that cycle of Mars square Saturn that kicked off the Mars retrograde cycle. So those come back in range really tight around September 29th while Mars is still retrograde. So since we talked about that last month, I won't go into a lot of detail about that, but I do go into a massive amount of detail in my Mars retrograde webinar, which you can pick up over at Astrology University. So I'll just refer you there because it took me about 2 hours to do that. So I won't do that for you here. But another thing that I want to point to as a major feature this month is that Venus transits are highlighted this month. We don't often pay attention to Venus transits because Venus is moving so fast. But with Libra season, we want to pay a little bit extra attention to Venus. And so a little bit later in one of our segments, we'll talk about the trines that Venus is going to be making. Well, Venus is going to be in Leo for part of this Libra season, and then also in Virgo. Then another major feature is that Saturn turns direct on September 29th. Saturn is a major focal planet this year, all of this year, because Saturn has been in Capricorn, then partially in Aquarius, now back in Capricorn. But this is the last Saturn direct in Capricorn before Saturn changes signs in December. So remember, it'll be about 30 years before we have Saturn in Capricorn again, the sign, one of the signs that it rules. So we still have time in this last bit. I say that we need to seize the opportunity to make the most of Saturn in Capricorn. And if we haven't done it so far, to really actualize the higher potentials of Saturn in Capricorn, which includes getting our ducks in order, digging deep to express ourselves with the highest level of integrity, that we can manage, to take personal responsibility for our actions, to hold ourselves and others accountable, but, huge but, without blame or shame. So that's something that takes practice and skill, but we have a bit more time to get some of that practice in. So in the midst of all the collective craziness right now, my favorite Saturn in Capricorn quote this week is, civilization depends on people being civilized. And this was from an author named Nassim Raqqa, who was writing for Oregon Live about some of the shenanigans happening in Oregon this month. Also in big news this month is Mercury stationing retrograde in Scorpio, October 13th Pacific time. This is really emphasizing the psychopomp dimension of Mercury. I often talk about with Mercury retrograde that it emphasizes that aspect of Mercury as well, Mercury being the only god who could travel in and out of the underworld in those ancient Greek stories. And in Scorpio, that is doubly so, emphasizing that dynamic of Mercury, or that quality, or that experience of Mercury. So there's a need to go down into the underworld before coming back into the light. That's, I think, one of the messages of this Mercury station retrograde. And because it's Mercury, maybe it's about information. So maybe there's some info that you need to get from down there, wherever down there is for you, you know, just think metaphorically, before you move forward. So Mercury will move back into Libra during the retrograde process, and then it'll station direct in Libra November 3rd. So we'll talk about that a little bit more next month as well, or with the Scorpio season. And we'll look at the election day chart then as well as part of that. So with both Mercury and Mars retrograde this month, these keywords that I'm about to share with you are especially poignant: review, rewind, rehash, rework, re-strategize, and just let yourself free associate on any other words that you can think of with re in front of them, R-E, and they will probably work for this period. It's a great time to slow down, to go inside, and to look within. If you're going for speed this month, you're probably not going to have as much success with that approach. Mercury and Mars are both retrograde in Mars ruled signs from October 13th to October 27th. Remember, I said Mercury goes back into Libra after that. But during that little window there, we have Mercury and Mars both in Mars ruled signs. So there's some connection with them or between them in this process that would be interesting to contemplate as well. And do you have anything that you'd like to add to that, Vanessa?
I'm just thinking about that Mercury retrograde in Scorpio. I'm wondering what sort of hidden information may come to light for us all, you know, in the external world, but also in our own internal world, of course. But yeah, I'm expecting a few more perhaps secrets coming out into the open.
Yeah. And with Mercury going into Scorpio and Libra, it's emphasizing this Libra dynamic where it's not a process that you're probably going to do alone.
Yeah.
You know, Mercury and Scorpios, it can be about getting into your own, material that's ready for healing. But typically Scorpio is doing that in the context of relationship as well. So it's getting into someone else's stuff too.
Yeah. So have some good DMs with someone that you trust.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And it will be very revealing.
Yes, definitely. Not always in ways that are comfortable, but definitely in ways that are needed.
Yeah, I guess the thing is to be open to it. It's like it's in Scorpio. It's the things that you have been hiding from yourself for a reason. So, yeah, it's like it's needed, or it's they say with the Scorpio stuff, it's just going to become more toxic or fester or infect. Like you want to get that stuff out. You want to bring the light in and shine it and clear it out. So it's Mercury. So yeah, have the conversations.
Yeah, totally.
And they're bonding in the end. That makes you feel much closer to people, having that intimacy. So I see it actually as a really great opportunity.
Yeah. As you're saying that, it makes me think of sometimes when I'm talking about Mercury and Scorpio, when Mercury and Scorpio is getting us into trouble, we're saying the thing, we're starting our sentence with, I know I shouldn't say this, but, and then we say the thing.
And
yes. Mercury and Scorpio, though retrograde, might be a time to kind of go back over those things that you didn't say. And is there something that you do want to share that, you know, isn't going to cause harm, or where the truth needs to come out in some way? So that could be interesting to think about as well.
Yeah. And also I think with the retrogrades, Mercury and Venus as well, when that planet retrogrades, is I will often notice, because I know the retrogrades are on, I'd pay more attention to it, but I'll start thinking about past relationships or someone that maybe, yeah, I have felt that I haven't finished a conversation with, or maybe that just a message that they had for me or that they represented for me. I'd be like, well, what was it about that person? What is it about that scenario that's now popping back up into my mind? And that literally can be the message. You know, Mercury is the messenger. So what's your subconscious popping up for you now that the clock is hit? Oh, it's time to readdress this, or here's something to take forward with you, a bit of advice for this situation.
Right, right. All right. So I guess we'll move on to our next section, Opportunity Knocks.
Yeah. So Tony, when opportunity knocks, what do?
I always want to say run away.
I know I did
this last time. So the joke is already really stale. It was stale the first time, but I just did it anyway. Yes.
But if that's your impulse, that's interesting.
Yes, it is. Say yes, you go for it. You open the door.
Open the door and you walk through.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
So we've got some really great aspects. There's not a lot, but they're really cool ones, the ones that we have. So Tiny, take it away.
Yeah, we started doing this segment because as astrologers, we tend to focus on the squares and oppositions and conjunctions. And so we really wanted to give the trines and sextiles some airtime in our podcast. And usually when Vanessa and I have done this the last couple of months, there are so many that we have to kind of be selective. And this month, we didn't have to be as selective. We just picked the ones that were there. So, but they are important and good ones. And I alluded to them earlier. We have four Venus trines. So, and since it's Libra season, I think the Venus aspects stand out and we should give them some attention and focus. The four trines this period are Venus in Leo, trine Mars on September 28th. Then after Venus moves into Virgo, we'll trine Uranus on October 10th. then Jupiter on October 19th and Pluto on October 21st. And the Venus trine with Saturn is, I think, outside the rent. I think that we'll probably talk about that next month in Scorpio season, is my guess. So Venus in Leo, trine Mars in Aries retrograde. So remember, Venus is in Leo right now while we're doing this podcast. So with these two in fire signs, this can be a great attraction energy with Venus and Mars. And it can be dynamic and passionate and bold, showy from the Leo side of things, and with a flair for the dramatic, maybe. It's rare to be in a situation these days where you can put on your cutest outfit and go strut your stuff in public, but
on Zoom.
I know, but maybe on Zoom, right? Yes, but that wouldn't be a bad use of this energy if you can find a way to do it safely on Zoom, maybe. Or some friends of mine were doing Zoom happy hour hangouts for a while. I don't think that's a thing anymore. I think people got tired of Zoom happy hours, but you know, maybe something like that, or a social distancing hangout where you can go hang out outside and put on that cute outfit. Definitely work the Venus and Leo side of it. Don't put on your Venus in Virgo outfit. Venus in Virgo is going to come soon, so you can wear your earth tones later. So put on your vibrant stuff and strut your stuff. This could be a really great creative signature for an artist as well, with Venus in Leo trine Mars in Aries retrograde. So especially for doing something innovative and creative and letting something kind of come out of your heart, that Venus in Leo energy. So if you're an artist, you might set aside this day as a work day, just to capitalize on any creative inspiration that comes through. Remember, when we have trines, if you sit around waiting for the trine to do something to you, it doesn't always work like that. I mean, every now and then we get things handed to us, and a lot of times the trines correlate with those moments. But also trines go by and we think, gosh, I had a trine, why didn't anything happen? Well, it's often there was an opportunity there that you didn't step into. So this could be a good day to watch out for that. And that again is September 28th. Do you have anything you wanted to add to that one, Vanessa?
Bunching that in with the next trine, the Venus trine Uranus as well. I agree with it's funny, the outfit thing, because I've been thinking about that as well. And my cousin's been watching, if anyone watched it, Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
This American series, so funny. And I love that the family just dressed up all the time. They didn't care. They were in some backwater. And I've taken a leaf out of that, and I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to jazz up my wardrobe a bit, even if it's just for Zoom. I'm going to get, like, I saw this outfit that was like head to toe sequins. It's really like for an Oscars red carpet event. But like, when am I going to go to something like that? But I don't want to miss out on like the luxe and the Venus moment. So you know what, I'm just going to do it. And yeah. I think that's that energy coming, and also Libra season. I'm feeling the vibe, Tony.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and these are very ego oriented signs too. Venus and Leo, Mars and Aries.
Self-expressive.
Yeah, self-expressive, definitely. And I'm not using ego for me, ego isn't a bad word. Ego is part of our psyche. It's part of our experience. And so I think, like any other part of our experience, it can be understood and appreciated and worked with in healthy ways. But that said, Venus and Leo and Mars and Aries aren't necessarily about understanding each other as much as maybe they're about turning each other on, if that makes sense. You know, you can think of it in sexual ways, of course, if you want, but also just think of that creativity I was describing earlier, where there's a turning on of something inside you, some creative spark. So this is a dance of attraction and a dynamic exchange of ego energy, I think, with these two planets.
And it's fun.
It's fun, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, have fun yes. with it. Like,
have fun with it.
It's not about holding back.
Especially in the context of everything going on. This aspect is going to just blip right by. So mark your calendar for that date and make the most of it.
And show off.
Show off, yes. Show off. It is a good time. Yes, yeah. Show off, yeah, for sure. So once Venus moves into Virgo, the energy, all that energy is really going to shift. And Venus in Virgo will bring in modesty as a response to Venus in Leo. So it'll counter some of that Venus in Leo, full display of color. We might be drawn to earth tones, like I said, in our wardrobe when we're picking out our clothes, or just to those simple outfits that are a bit more practical and functional rather than showy. But Venus in Virgo can also be about the perfection of beauty. So don't underestimate Venus in Virgo's power to dazzle. Venus in Virgo isn't always just homely and muted and under... What's the word I was looking for?
understated.
Understated, yes, thank you. Yeah, so there's some really, really great folks, really glamorous folks with Venus in Virgo that I might rip out
they
some of their names.
They definitely perfect the look, I think. Like, right? I always think Virgo after Leo. Leo busted out, but that Virgo will refine and perfect that awesome look that you came up with, and you'll get the details right. You'll wash it. You'll iron it. And yeah, I agree too. I've seen some Venus in Virgo. Like, they just nail it. And whatever you've done, they'll take it and do it better.
Right.
About refining and polishing. So yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, read the earth tones, because this year has been in fashion. It's huge. There's shops that are just earth tones right now. So
really,
they're going to get a bit of extra business. Yeah, with all Jupiter, I find is a real trend indicator for that yearly cycle. So being in an earth sign, I've seen a lot of earthy colors. Absolutely.
Right. Definitely. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, so once Venus is in Virgo, it's set up to trine all these earth planets that we have in Capricorn, especially. So that whole Capricorn crew is going to get trined by Venus. So Uranus on October 10th. And the thing that comes to mind with Venus trine Uranus for me is liberate the feminine. So just let your mind free associate with that one too. And I say devote some energy to that intention on October 10th. With both planets in earth signs, Venus in Virgo and Uranus in Taurus, this could also be a good day to devote some energy to loving and liberating Mother Earth as well. Anything you want to add to that, Vanessa?
I was thinking about that one, thinking, yeah, open up relationships. Like, it can be like, okay, with distance, open to new people, or suddenly a new way of relating. Just it's a real opportunity, just to open up to something that you might not have even considered. Also in relating, like, I remember a friend decided on something, maybe she was having this aspect at the time, but she realized that she had just been looking at this really narrow type of person that she was into, and the minute she opened her mind, she met that person that she basically married and had two beautiful children with, and it took that shift. And so this is the opportunity of that beautiful trine. But yeah, you've got to be open to doing it. Like, you have to help the trine along. It'll land on your lap if you go with it.
Definitely. Well, speaking of opportunity, then on October 19th we have a classic, which is Venus trine Jupiter, and that's often an aspect that I will encourage people to use for an electional if other conditions are right. It's often a good day to take important actions when Venus is trine Jupiter. But the rest of the planetary setup this month and on that day, and with Mercury and Mars retrograde, that complicate that quite a bit. So still, there are times where we just have to do something important while the planets are not in the most perfect places. And so if you have to do something really important in October that can't wait until later, you might circle that date, October 19th, as a possibility on your calendar. And if you do use that as an electional, maybe choose a time with either Libra or Sagittarius rising. The Taurus and Pisces rising charts are a little trickier then, because then you'd have either Uranus or Neptune rising. But depending on the intention, those two could work as well. Then finally, we have Venus trine Pluto on October 21st, suggesting connection and peaceful negotiation possibly as a doorway to healing power dynamics. Anything else that you want to share about either of those, Vanessa?
That definitely goes with the power couple as well. And the Pluto with the Venus, very practical in the earth signs, these ones as well. Like, it could be someone that you're teaming up with to, do something practical. That's awesome. A bit of a power couple thing. And you were going to talk about the Jupiter sextile Neptune as well in this section.
Yeah, we'll do that too. So October 12th, we have another opportunity transit, Jupiter sextile Neptune. This one is actually a really sizable opportunity transit. And it creates the potential for expansion and creative flow, for synergy. Just think about that word synergy. You could even just meditate on that word that day. Also a stimulating and easy connection with the creative muse. So really good time another great transit for artists and creative types to really create some space to get in touch with the muse. Don't set aside that day to work through your email inbox.
Wasted.
Totally wasted opportunity that day. So for a person that has this aspect in the natal chart, Tyra Banks has natal Jupiter in Aquarius, sextile both her MC in Aries and Neptune in Sagittarius. So Jupiter's right in between the two. Jupiter and Neptune together says up. Right? Jupiter is expansion and expansiveness and expanding, and Neptune is no boundary. So it's like a hot air balloon just going up and up and up and up.
Yep. No limit.
And with
they're Jupiter's in practical Capricorn, so.
Yeah, so it's not endless expansion. It's also, another reason why I was thinking of it as a great transit for artistic endeavors and creation, because there's something that can be brought into form with Jupiter and Capricorn.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Something tangible.
The Pisces with the Capricorn, it's extremely, ground your dreams, isn't it? Make your dreams come true, the reality, but there's still no obstacle because it's Jupiter.
Definitely. And for Banks, with Neptune in that combo, it's fitting that she had massive success in the field of modeling and television, both in
glamour.
Neptune's domain of idealized images. Doors just seem to have opened really easily for Banks throughout her career, which has included television personality, model, producer, businesswoman, actress, singer, and author. So there's a lot going on there. Well, before we finish up this section, I just want to list a few famous Venus and Virgos for Venus and Virgo, that period of Venus and Virgo. And we have Charlize Theron. We have Brigitte Bardot, Sophia Loren. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites, Catherine Deneuve. Always just so classy. Julia Roberts, Mila Kunis, Meghan Markle, and a few fellows here, Chris Hemsworth, Vin Diesel, and Alexander Skarsgård.
So it's a strong placement.
Yeah. And I found a couple with Venus in Virgo on the Virgo ascendant, and Gene Kelly, you were mentioning Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers earlier. So we could bring in Gene Kelly too for that lovely dancing, and Patrick Swayze. Yeah. Interesting. Both of them dancing fellows there. Well, this is a great time for our break, for our PSA break, this podcast. So we'll just take a quick break and I'll tell you about a new organization called Zodiac the Vote. Zodiac the Vote was co-founded by Jessica Lagnato and Lindsay Scolo. Hope I pronounced your name right, Lindsay. And Zodiac the Vote provides everyday people, activists, and astrology fans with reliable content that highlights the connection between spiritual integrity, social justice, and civic participation. They're a community motivated to create real change in the U.S., beginning with voting. From their website, they write, "We at Zodiac the Vote believe that our differences make us stronger. We don't necessarily agree on everything, but we do agree on this fundamental truth. Civic engagement, in all of its many forms, creates momentum essential to accomplish transformative and sustainable change." In addition to engaging blog posts, Zodiac the Vote also has some very cute t-shirts and merchandise to help support both their mission and to spread the word and get the vote out. I just ordered their shirt with the slogan, "Mercury may be retrograde, but my vote isn't." And that's just a fun play on the fact that Mercury is going to be stationing direct. So it's still going to be retrograde as the election starts on November 3rd. So continuing from their site, they say, "This is not a website for political predictions. Astrology is a tool that, when used right, offers insights to understand our past, conceptualize our present, and strategize for our future. The 2020 election is about democracy versus authoritarianism. And while we know that voting isn't the most we can do, it's an excellent place to start. This is our movement. Thank you for being here. Let's keep showing up together." And now we will get back to our podcast with our segment, Creative Challenge Points.
Yes. Okay. Creative challenge points. So I just had the Mercury retrograde down for that one. There's so many to choose from this month.
Yes, definitely. There's a whole slew of when Vanessa prepares the transits for us for this podcast, she highlights the squares and oppositions in yellow, and the email was just like all yellow.
Pretty much. Yep. Yeah, we just had to take what we could get for, oh, something's happening with my notes, for the positive ones. But the positive ones are very positive, so thankfully. But yeah, there's a lot of little jibs and jabs. It's a little prickly this month, isn't it? Which ones did you have written down?
So we have Mercury square Capricorn. I was kind of, when I saw that one, I was thinking, oh, that's kind of nice that that happens before Mercury's retrograde because it'll go by a bit faster. But Mercury square Capricorn can be a great time to apply yourself to a mercurial project. We see Mercury Saturn aspects really common in the charts of writers because if you have a great Mercury, you might have a lot of ideas and be able to communicate, but to actually like write a book, you need a good Saturn as well, because it takes quite a bit of dedication and work, as you might know, Vanessa.
And I'm Saturn in Gemini, so it's close enough, isn't it?
Definitely. With Mercury in Libra square Saturn in Capricorn, these conversations that happen, if they're prickly, you know, Mercury and Libra might have to do with fairness and justice. We're really close to that one right now, aren't we? It's September 19th when we're recording this. Hopefully I'll be releasing it tomorrow, so we'll get this out just a couple of days before this aspect. Right. And then the very next day, because Saturn and Mars are so close to being in that square aspect, Mercury will be opposite Mars in Aries. So a bit more of that fairness and justice conversation against maybe folks who don't share your same perspective. So Mercury's in Libra. So if you're activating that side of the equation, I always like to think of how can you activate one side of that dynamic at least and step into it, because a lot of times it's easier to do one than the other. And if it's the Mercury in Libra side, you want to focus on talking and listening, in being aware of the other and holding space for what the other person's point of view is. I was just talking to a friend last night who was sharing when they listened to someone talk about this really polarized topic that they were mentioning, that all they do is listen. They just hold space and listen to the person, and then tensions don't flare up, right? A lot of times when in this polarized energy that we have, that'll be probably a bit harder to do on September 24th with Mercury opposite Mars, because if you're in the Mars and Aries side of the equation, you might be quicker to anger or frustration with Mars being retrograde and just kind of lash out. That's the risk.
It's a pretty, pretty hot combo to be happening in the climate that we already have with all that sort of competitive squaring going on, isn't it? And then we start to get these oppositions coming in, and it's already like that. So it's good to remember, I think, with the Libra as well, like Libra just listens to everything, nods, you think they're agreeing with you, but they're just saying, I heard what you said. They don't need to come in, because it's the opposite of Aries. They don't need to come in and say no or but or you're wrong and I'm right. They just listen impartially. Impartial is a really good word to remember for Libra season, and particularly with these aspects coming in. It's just so heated, isn't it? And that opposition is causing division, which is going to be our downfall if we don't bring that Libra in and at least just come and sit at the table without punching each other.
And one thing that can kind of blindside Libra in these situations when they do share is they might be listening to somebody like maybe let's represent Mars and Aries, a one-sided position that's coming from an ego-based perspective. Mm-hmm. And Libra says, but haven't you considered the other point of view? Well, Mars and Aries probably doesn't want to hear the other point of view. So that alone can, in this opposition, you can see where that goes. But just for Libra in general, that impulse to point out the other way of seeing things or the other side of the equation or the other point of view isn't always welcome information. So to the Libra thinks, oh, well, I would want to know both sides of the story. And since you seem to be so one-sided, I should tell you what that is. But that doesn't always, it's not always received well.
So I guess all we can do is remember that for ourselves when something triggers us and we feel like we just have to get in there and be Mars and Aries about it. Just remember to balance it.
Definitely.
Because we can't control the other person.
Yeah. And of course, we have the Mars Saturn square on September 29th, which we've already talked about. And just to name some of the other things here, we won't go into detail with all these today, but Mercury will be opposite Uranus on October 7th. And that is just before the station retrograde, which is October 13th. And Mars will also be squaring Pluto. That's kind of a big deal on October 9th. And the rest here are Sun squares and oppositions. Those tend to go by pretty quickly. But, you know, maybe one of these days, Vanessa will talk about the Sun aspects, because even though they go by quickly, they often will act as triggers for some of these key energies. And what we're seeing with the Sun in Libra is that they're triggering that Capricorn crew.
That's what I'm thinking with these, because, yeah, they're at the same degrees. And often the Moon can be the same. If it just moves into some critical point, it just kicks off this whole thing that's already sitting there that it's moved into. So I did see those Sun square opposition right through, and I figure they'll probably constellate something. So it's just good to be aware of that time of that particular month, not to catch fire over something and explode. Yeah.
And then just to say a couple words about Mars square Pluto. Mars square Pluto is one of those transits that I have done a lot of damage control with as an astrologer, because there are astrologers out there who will say really dark negative stuff about Mars square Pluto. And I've had clients coming to me saying, this astrologer said this terrible thing was going to happen because of this Mars square Pluto transit or Mars opposite Pluto transit. And I mean, I'll just tell you, like any transit, it doesn't always play out one way. You can't say that about any transit or anything in astrology, that it always works out one way. But one thing I like thinking about with Mars and Pluto is getting in touch with your drive and your will, your ego drive and your will, but also your instincts. And Mars is maybe kind of, if you want to think of it this way, surface level instincts, while Pluto is a deeper kind of lizard brain, I think, instinct. And so getting in touch with your instinctual drives and the squares often suggest some kind of more challenging integration of those energies. So Mars, what do I want versus what does nature want in this situation? You know, where I'm just thinking about these colossal fires we're experiencing right now, where nature is kind of raging. And then, you know, we're a little person angry. That's like Mars in Aries, but the forest burning is like, you know, the Pluto part of the equation.
Yep.
And I do think though, that all of that said, that this is a good play it safe day. I think it's not a time to kind of poke the beehive on this day.
Definitely not. You'll get the swarm. You'll get the swarm. It's like a karmic thing, isn't it? You will not win that one.
No. Yeah. October 9th. Yeah. Especially if you're representing Mars and Aries in that equation, right? Pluto is deeper power dynamics, and it may be powerful dynamics that you can't be in control of. And so we all experience those just with nature itself, right? You know, even before global warming was giving us these crazy superstorms and massive hurricanes and the worst fires we've ever had and all of that, there were still hurricanes and forest fires and superstorms, right? There were still tornadoes. So nature can be ruthless. Nature can be very dangerous, right? It's a dangerous place. That's why humans have had this impulse to control it. I was listening to this wonderful documentary about Rachel Carson and her work last night, and they were doing some lead up to her work and the impulse of humans to kind of control nature, because nature was can be, you know, very scary and life-threatening. So thinking about nature as life-threatening and even having that conversation, we're in that Pluto territory, right? So, yeah. So Mars, what can you do? And sometimes with Mars, always talk about Mars as the warrior, but a really great warrior also knows, they know when to fight, but they also know when to back down. So that could be something that we're thinking about as well.
Yeah, they know about power and use of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do this in a little bit, and this isn't the book I'm going to put, but I do have this one on my desk right now, is Bruce Lee's Wisdom for Daily Living. And it's a collection of quotes from Bruce Lee. And it just seemed really fitting for this Mars and Aries period.
Absolutely. And all the squares.
Yeah, definitely.
So is that taking us now to what's on your coffee table, Tony?
Well, yeah, I guess I just did one, but the one I was intending
to... May as well move into it.
Yeah, the one I was intending to do was, I actually always have about 10 books on my coffee table, but this one's at the top right now. This is Incarnation, The Four Angles and the Mood Nodes by Melanie Reinhart, and that one's on my table because we're teaching a Four Angles class that starts next week, so...
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, that's our textbook, yeah. But this
is a cardinal season. So it's the full equinox.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? Did you have another one?
No, it's just the one I already had. It's the Bruce Lee book, yeah.
That looks like dealing with squares. The squares that the challenges of life. This is yes. How you bust through.
Striking thoughts. While you're doing yours, I'll see if I can find one of these really great quotes. So what's on your coffee table, Vanessa? So
on my coffee table is one that you mentioned in a previous episode. It is From the Moment We Met, The Astrology of Adult Relationships by Brian Clark.
Nice.
One of my original astrology teachers.
Nice.
And of course, Brian has a stellium in Libra. So who better to, you know, this has got to be the book he was born to write on relationships. And so it takes you right through all the bits and pieces of astrology with a focus on relationship, of course. So very valuable. He's a beautiful writer and extremely learned. So recommended. And I had to pull out a classic, which is by Liz Green, who I love. It's called Relating, An Astrological Guide to Living with Others. And I think some of her writing is a little bit, or her views are a little bit old school. So just a little pre-warning there, but she's a great astrologer and she's contributed so much. So take those bits with a grain of salt, but the astrology is fantastic. So
there's some gender language stuff that could use a little bit of rewriting things that she might have said differently today.
Yeah, I'm sure she would have.
Yeah.
And there's another one as well I wanted to mention. Like you, there's so many books, isn't there? I wanted to talk about attachment styles because it's Libra season. So the book I recommend for that is The Power of Attachment, How to Create Deep and Lasting Intimate Relationships by Diane Poole Heller. Nice. And if you don't know about attachment styles, it's really interesting. Simple concept, but really interesting. It's a really nice journey through relationships, although it's not obviously an astrology book, but, you know, broadening your understanding, you bring it back into that structure of astrology and you're a much better astrologer, I do believe.
Beautiful. Well, I found that Bruce Lee quote, and I think it's great advice for Mars retrograde, but especially the parts where it's square Saturn. And remember, we're not done with that just yet. And Bruce Lee had Mars in Scorpio opposite Saturn, so he knew a little something about this.
Interesting.
And in this quote, he says, "Wait in the calm strength of patience. Guard your strength with tenderness. One need not fear, lest strong will should not prevail. The main thing is not to expend one's powers prematurely in an attempt to obtain by force something for which the time is not yet ripe."
Gosh, that's perfect, isn't it? Perfect.
So it's so perfect. And I found that one just by opening the book.
Yes, the best way.
I know. It just jumped right out. So it was like magic. Yeah, so our next section is takeaways. So what are your takeaways for this month, Vanessa?
My key takeaway is really find that balance point between individual action, collaboration, and negotiation.
Nice. It's
You were very
succinct with it this month. I was not succinct. So
What's yours?
I have several here. I just couldn't pick just one because there's so many dynamic energies this month. But the main one for me is this is a month to slow down because of those Mercury and Mars retrogrades. Mm-hmm. But spend some of your Mercury thinking time going inward, becoming aware of power dynamics, and discovering what part you're playing in any conflict that arises. We're in a process of learning about what we really want during this Mars retrograde. So allow yourself to be in the process. This is a process. Really focus on that word. And don't push too much. This isn't a time to push. Fight for truth and justice. That's on the table right now. But be safe and practice nonviolent action if you are taking action. And remember that knowing when to back down and protect yourself is also a brilliant expression of Mars. And finally, tap into your deepest expression of personal integrity and accountability to honor these planets in Capricorn.
Yeah. Responsible action.
Responsible action, definitely. Mm. And safe action is also, I think, a great combo there of Mars and Aries and Saturn and Capricorn.
Yeah, and the Pluto square when it comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, consider it. I do have one more I'll add to it.
Yeah, please.
Being an independent while collaborating in a way that's mutually beneficial.
Nice.
Something to think about. Again, that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So monthly mantra.
Yeah, I have. I seek out others' opinions to broaden my awareness of experiences outside my own. I take a stand for justice, equality, and fairness.
Excellent. Yeah, that's the opposites going together, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
I looked up Louise Hay because she is a Libran and she's just so famous for her mantras and her intentions. And you can, you know, she's great to Google. Her list is just fantastic. But one is life loves me, just on the real positive, because, you know, there's been a lot of, just the news is such a downer. There's just so much like I'm such an upbeat Sagittarius, but I've even noticed it's really been getting sort of my thoughts down. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, turn it around again and feed my mind something positive. So life loves me and I say yes to life. As I say yes to life, life says yes to me. And then she has a lot that's just, they're beautiful. They just like, I'm beautiful. Literally there's one, I am beautiful. Everyone loves me. I love everyone. Like just having that positive mind stream. And then that's what you start to see and experience. And it gets you in touch with that feeling. It, when you have those intentions, obviously you get this beautiful chemical cascade and it rolls on from there. And my own one that I came up with was, I easily form mutually beneficial and sustainable relationships full of love, beauty, charm, and respect.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Feel good.
Yeah. And, you know, in these times where if you are in a place, you know, if you're living in Oregon or California or you're close to the fires, or here in Colorado, there's also fires here, or, you know, if they're not fires, there's something else going on. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. It's pretty easy to get into feelings of overwhelm right now. And these monthly mantras and some of these focal points we've placed on synergistic and more positive opportunity transits, they may seem out of sync in some way with all that really dark shadow energy, but they're not out of sync at all. They're happening at the same time. Those transits are happening at the same time. And there are opportunities for growth right now. And these mantras can be the difference in your day of kind of sinking into that overwhelm or stepping back into yourself and taking some of that energy back for yourself and changing how you get through that day and what you do that day. A friend of mine said to me yesterday, just give love. You know, it sounds so simple, but just give love and be love every day as much as you can right now, just to counteract and
to
bring things back into balance.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean like you're avoiding problems. It means you're going back, resetting, and operating from a place that's much more empowering and positive. Yeah. And
then even if you're an activist, right? Even if you're planning to go out and take an action and you're going to a march that day, if you start the day by getting into your heart center and focusing on being love and giving love. I've seen some beautiful examples this year of activists out there with the police just being in their loving center and holding, you know, nonviolent action kind of space, which has been modeled by really wonderful leaders like MLK and Coretta Scott King and all the folks that, you know, but I've seen some really great examples of people standing in that energy and how it can really change the dynamic.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And if you are a person in a position of that power, like a police, you know, I've seen those great images where they just make that show, like they drop all their armor and they take their gear off and they just go and hug someone. And it's such a strong symbol when someone doesn't just kind of go with that power. They turn it around. They truly take the power. It's amazing. And then everything changes.
So beautiful. It can happen on both sides of the equation, yep. For sure. There are no bad guys in that scenario. They're just opportunities. They're just opportunities to love and hold that space, right?
Yeah. And don't project your power, like realize where you can be that person. Mm-hmm. And that symbol.
Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast for today. But before we go, I'm going to tell you about a couple of exciting things. Vanessa has a new book. You want to tell us a bit about that, Vanessa?
Yes. So Cosmic Power, Ignite Your Light, A Simple Guide to Star Signs for the Modern Mystic is on its way. It's still on pre-order. Its first outing will be in Australia on the 5th of November. So it's coming. It's got a lot in it that's a little extra. So I thought I'd share a little bit about that today.
Please.
Which is it's that Neptune in Pisces, everything's becoming merged and we're finding the correlations and intersections. So I put that into this book and it's got all the correlations, like tarot cards and the crystals, and for each sign, like which yoga pose is going to strengthen that archetype and also balance it. So, you know, calming, cooling for the fire signs, of course.
Right.
It's got herbs. It's got a whole listing of all of that stuff, as well as everything else that you could ever want and more. And of course, Tony, you're going to talk about something that I'll be in of yours, but before we go to that, I'm also doing something on Instagram Live, some Instagram Lives with Natalia Benson on her IG called The Astrology Show. And that is starting coming up to the next full moon in Aries. And then we'll be doing that for 6 months every full moon. So nice. Come and join us. It'll be interactive. Ask us questions. And we've got some fun things in store. A little bit casual, but also formal, because I like my segments and my structure.
Nice.
And Tony, you've got a great summit coming up.
Yeah, for sure. But before I do that, I forgot to mention, I did say Zodiac the Vote, but I didn't say the website address. I mean, it's actually zodiacthevote.com, but I did just want to mention that. So head over there to check out their cool astro merch, but also just to support their mission. So, we have a summit coming up October 3rd and 4th called Astrology and World Events, Challenges and Opportunities. And we're going to be looking at some of the core energies that we're swimming in right now, and also some of the energies coming up for 2021. And we have a really wonderful crew of speakers for you this summit, including Lynn Bell, Jessica Lagnato, David Crook from the Bay Area. We got a couple of new folks, a fellow named Christoph Niederweiser from Germany, who's prepared a really interesting talk for you guys. We have Hadley Fitzgerald back, who always does wonderful presentation, Alexander von Schlieffen, Dimitra George, Kelly Surtees, Karen Hamacher-Sontag. Amazing, amazing, amazing lineup. And then we have a really exciting panel called Dreaming the Future that I'm very excited about. And it's going to include Vanessa along with the panel host, Michael Bryan, and also Stormy Grace and Shakira Taborn. So really excited to hear you guys talking about the energies that and potentials that we can step into in the year to come.
Yeah, so, me too. Lots changing. Changing of the guard.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. So head over to astrologyuniversity.com/summit to sign up. It is free to sign up and watch the summit live. And we also have a couple of great webinar events coming up soon. So September 26th, Stephen Forrest will be presenting a talk on Chiron, and Jason Holly will be presenting Astrology as Sacred Play on October 10th. So head over to astrologyuniversity.com and you can click the calendar to get the details on that. All right. I think that's it for now. And thanks for joining us. And thanks for joining me today, Vanessa. It's always a pleasure hanging out.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure for me as well. I love it. And have a great Libra season, everyone.
Yeah. And we'll see you in a month for Scorpio season. And until then, take really
stay
good
cosmic.
Care. Stay cosmic. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.